The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and welcome to another episode of Our Community. My guest today is Doug Bunn, the Dean of the Southwest Community College Brookings Campus. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you, Candace. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, do I actually have your title correct?
I am the Executive Dean of the Curry Campus of Southwestern Oregon Community College.
Okay, so what is an Executive Dean as opposed to any other kind of dean?
Well, the executive dean has responsibilities for all of the management of the campus. Because we're a satellite campus, that means that there are a lot of administrative duties that an instructional dean would not have. So things just making sure that bills get paid, talking to contractors when maybe the power goes out, or if we have an air conditioning unit failure, then I'm the person who manages some of the affairs that the administrative team might do on a college campus.
So are you kind of on call then 24/7?
Yes, I am.
And how do you like that?
Well, it's kind of exciting, actually, when the Gold Coast Security called and said, we have an active alarm on your campus. That was pretty exciting. So how soon can you get there? And Google says I can be there in 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It turned out to be nothing. It turned out to be a compressor that didn't rev up, and it caused our fire system to trip.
But
it
was how bizarre!
It was actually a good learning experience.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was the office manager for a business, and I was the person that got called if there was a break in or a security problem or whatever. And it was 10 o'clock at night and dark, and I'm there waiting for the cops to show up. It's like, okay, it was a little bizarre. It's a little bizarre.
It's great that we're just 3 minutes away. The Brookings Police Department says they can be there in 3 minutes, and they've been really good to us about going through the campus. I know they check on us frequently.
That's great. Good. So before we start talking about SWOC, and there's a lot to talk about with that, I'd like to know just a little bit about you, if you don't mind sharing.
Well, there's a lot of things that I could make up, but if
I love that. Yeah, and you don't have to tell me which ones you're making up.
Well, I don't know how far you want to go back.
Well, I'd like to know where you grew up. That's always interesting.
All right. I grew up in southern Idaho. I grew up on a farm. My grandmother had an 80-acre farm, and it was a wonderful place for a little boy to grow up.
Oh, yeah.
We have dogs and cats, cows, horses, a couple of donkeys. And you know, trees to climb and ditches to play in. It was a good life.
It's about perfect, really.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And like most kids that grow up on a farm, I learned to drive behind the wheel of a tractor. I've moved pipe, set siphon tubes, run the swather, bucked hay, you know, just about everything you can do on a farm.
So when you say buck hay, is that the same as baling hay?
No, when you bale, depending on how heavy.
Because I baled hay.
Yeah, baling hay, that's a dusty job.
I loved it.
And bucking hay isn't much better, but bucking hay is throwing it onto the trailer so that you can take it in and stack it.
Ah, okay.
You buck it up onto the trailer.
I get it. So we had my grandfather had a farm, and he had a machine that, I think it was called a baler, so it would, you know, feed the hay in, and then it would get baled in this machine, and then it would come out the back end, and we'd be standing on the bed of this long whatever it was, and pull the bales and then stack them on the flatbed.
Yeah, you probably used a hay hook, huh?
Yes, I did use a hay hook.
Yeah, I see that on Facebook once in a while. People go, identify what this is.
And we know exactly what it is and how it's used, yes. Okay, so Idaho, that's interesting.
Well, I love Idaho.
Yeah.
There's areas of Idaho. I've lived in northern Idaho, mm-hmm. and it's a lot like Curry County with a lot of trees and the evergreens and beautiful lush areas. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up is more down on the Snake River Plain. It's more desert that's turned into not so desert by a lot of dams and water projects.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if those dams and water projects impede the salmon.
Right. The salmon are stopped, I believe, at, they're on the Snake River just before the Salmon River comes in. So, yeah, the salmon stop well before getting into southern Idaho.
Yeah. Okay. I never know, you know, when I hear that salmon are inland, it always kind of surprises me because I think of salmon as being out in our Pacific Ocean here, not in a river.
Yeah, I think that the salmon stop at Hell's Canyon Dam.
Okay.
And, you know, Lewiston, Idaho, clear into Lewiston, is considered a seaport. They push barges all the way up the Columbia and into Lewiston. They barge some of the salmon and steelhead that way, too.
Wow. I should probably take another geography class. I'm thinking I must have slept through it.
Well, there's a lot of information on Google.
And that is my favorite place to go. All right, so when you left Idaho, where did you go?
Well, that skips a lot of territory, doesn't
then
it?
Then let's not.
Yeah, well, let me tell you a little bit about high school, because I think it's germane in that I was from a fairly poor family, and I in high school, my interests were vocational. I liked to work on cars and small engines and welding, and that's something that served me well. I enjoy very much. I have a little utility trailer that I brag that I did every weld.
That's great.
It's got a nice heavy axle under it, so it's a good piece of work. And my wife is constantly amazed at the number of things that I can fix around the house and elsewhere.
She's not only amazed, but I can guarantee you she is so grateful.
Yeah, she likes it when I can tear into some things. Not so much when I say, come hold this. But we do well.
Yeah.
So in I grew up, you know, going through high school, I worked on a dairy. I was telling some people out at the college just before I left orientation that I used to milk the cows. Mm-hmm. I worked on a farm for Wilbur.
Did you hand milk or did you have machines?
No, I'm not that old. There were machines. They've had machines for an awful long time.
Well, I know, but my grandfather had a dairy farm. And when we were first there, you know, he was hand milking.
Yeah, you strip a little bit just to make sure that they don't have mastitis and things like that. Mm-hmm. But no, we had a little, it was a herd of 60 cows that we milked twice a day.
Yep.
And then later on, I worked for another dairy that had more like 250 cattle, and they milked three times a day.
That was quite
the operation.
Wow.
Yeah, your production goes up about 20% if you increase one more time. So.
Huh. Yeah, I remember my grandfather would be up by, 4:30, 5 o'clock, because that milking had to happen no matter what. It had to happen. And it was before the sun was up half the time, so.
I think there's a lot of character that's developed on the farm. The young man I worked with milking cows for Christmas Day one year, we decided we were going to do something nice for our boss, for Wilbur. He had been teasing us that he wanted an erector set for Christmas, so we bought him an erector set, and we took it out and had everything ready so that he could milk the cows without having to do all the other chores on Christmas morning.
That's wonderful.
And it was a great experience for us. We felt good about it. And he and his wife were very pleased.
I bet. And it does absolutely build character. If you have to do a job and there's no alternative, you have to do it whether you're feeling good or not feeling good. It builds your character. It just does. I remember my grandfather, he was very quiet, didn't have a lot to say, but he never missed a day. You know, if he had to be out in the fields mowing or whatever, he was there until, I think he was still driving a tractor at 93. So,
They've gotten quite a bit easier since.
Yeah.
The good old day.
Yeah. Do we always do that, the good old days? Do you find yourself doing that? Like,
yeah, you're right. I do say that. Tomorrow could well be a good old day. Huh?
I know. Okay, so high school, you were doing trade stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
And then after high school, I graduated, went off to the big city, Pocatello, Idaho. I got a job working at turning burgers at Wendy's.
Good
that
for you.
You know, 5 or 6 months, enjoyed that. And at that point, I kind of, you know, got things together and decided I needed to do something important in my life. I went. I served as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for a year and a half in Indiana, and then I came back and went to college at Ricks College in Rexburg, Idaho.
Excellent.
And that's where I met my wife.
Ah. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yes. Not right away.
Not right away.
Yeah. And then.
Well, Ricks College was a great experience. One of the stories I like to tell about Ricks College was the appreciation I gained for art.
Mm.
I came from the country and I thought maybe I'd go into finance or something like that, learn to be a banker. And I had no appreciation for artistic things. So you had to take at least one art class back then. And I thought, I'll get it over with in the most pain-free way that I can. So the college offered an intercession over the Christmas break. They offered a class where you met 8 times over the break, and you would meet for like 6 hours a day, but only on 8 days. So I took that class, and it was amazing to see watercolors and various other, you know, just the exposure was really nice. So that the first time I went to Washington, D.C., I was so psyched about going to the Smithsonian and learning about Skylab and looking at airplanes and rockets and all that cool stuff. But on the way from my hotel, I went through the National Gallery of Art because I thought I could cut through across the mall on my way to the Smithsonian.
Oops.
And it turns out you can't. No, you can't. But I ended up spending almost 4 hours in the National Gallery of Art because it was amazing. I remember going into one of those rooms with the Spanish officer or the very dignified Spanish man. And they had him, the three walls were covered by this Spaniard, and they were all looked the same, but they were of different sizes and little different texture. And I just remember how amazing I thought that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I really gained a great appreciation for art during my general education studies.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Is there a particular thing that appeals to you? Watercolor, acrylics, oil painting, anything that...
Maybe bronze sculpture.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that makes sense. You know
most of what we bronze is the human body, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's different how artists project, how they characterize the body.
So then, after the college?
Well, I did meet my wife towards the end of my college stint. Another story I tell is about the U-turns that happen while you're in college.
Fascinating, isn't it?
I started out, like I said, thinking I was going to go into banking. Mm-hmm. So I met with an advisor, and they said, you have to take this practicum class, which is these speakers come in. I think it was on Thursdays at 7 o'clock, and I'm like, I do not want to do a Thursday.
A.M.?
Yeah, in the morning.
Yay, yay.
And so I remember that thinking, well, I don't have to take that class if I just change my major to economics. If I change my major to economics, then they don't require the practicum, and in my last term, I'll switch back to finance, and then I'll only have to take practicum one time. And as it turned out, I never switched back.
That's funny.
So I ended up being an economist looking into the dismal science instead of being a banker studying finance.
I think that's funny. Yeah. And then?
Then my wife and I went to Utah State University in Logan. Mm-hmm. We love that area. It's another beautiful area of our country. I had some great teachers there that were really inspirational, but you really can't do much with a bachelor's degree in economics except for go on to law school or graduate school in some way. I was able to get into graduate school at Auburn University in Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that led me for the first time out of the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
in a more permanent way. So my wife and I ended up being in Auburn for 2 years. We had, our second child came along while we were in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Pullman, Washington, where I finished my PhD at Washington State University.
So your PhD is in?
It's in economics.
Excellent. Good. So then you understand everything that's going on right now, right? Economically.
No, I think someone just said that, was it Bill Gates, I think, was quoted recently as saying economists don't know anything about the macro economy. And he could well be right.
Great.
I mean, if Bill Gates said it, it must be true. Well, I mean, the truth is it's like a psychologist, saying that economists don't understand the economy is just like saying that psychiatrists don't understand people. Mm-hmm. You can never know what a person is going to do, and our economy is equally as unpredictable.
Right.
We can guess trends, we can create profiles, but right. We can't know exactly what's going to happen.
No. And it's probably a good thing that we can't, because it would be... It would be very stressful if we actually could see what was coming down the road.
The economy is doing wonderfully right now, even though the Federal Reserve just dropped interest rates for the second time in 2 months. Right?
Amazing, right? Amazing. So you're in Washington State. So are you into education at this point? How did you get in didn't you get into education?
As a graduate student, you take classes mostly for your first 3 years. Although I was a teaching assistant for most of my second and third years. And mm-hmm. then after that, they have you do a teaching assignment. I taught usually principles of macroeconomics, and I also taught intermediate microeconomics. And I think even one term I taught a labor economics class during the time that I was writing a dissertation.
Okay. So how did you get into being an administrator? I mean, that... is what you are, right?
Yeah, who would ever think? I think most college faculty don't think about going into administration. Mm-mm. And I've been all over the map. Once I graduated, I worked for a think tank in the Boston area doing grant-funded studies for the Healthcare Finance Administration.
Wow.
Which is Medicare.
Yeah.
And I worked there for about a year. Then I started doing pharmacoeconomic analysis for a startup company in the St. Louis area, eventually ended back in academia for a few years, eventually became a statistician for Coldwater Creek. The ladies usually know Coldwater Creek.
Oh,
it's the dress company.
Oh, yes.
I brag that I've sold dresses. It's really true. I sold them over the phone.
I have some beautiful shawls that I got from Coldwater Creek.
Yeah. It was one of the most amazing places to work. It was very creative, and we had a lot of fun as our group. And eventually, I got back into, Coldwater Creek went bankrupt. I went back into teaching. And then another one of those quirky little things, my wife and I were driving across the country because our daughter had gotten married in Utah. We were on our way back, and we drove through Rock Springs, Wyoming, and I saw the little sign that said Western Wyoming Community College. Mm-hmm. And I commented to my wife, I said, this is the kind of place we ought to be at. Mm. And about 3 months later, I saw an ad for a position there. I applied and didn't hear anything back. And then I saw another announcement. I applied again. When they advertised it the third time, I called Human Resources and said, hey, do they know what they really want?
Excuse me.
Exactly. And they said they didn't. And they put me in talking to the right person. And Brandy Moore, the division chair then at the time, they hired me, and she's like, you were exactly what we needed.
Oh, so that's wonderful.
I started working there, and when Brandy had a baby and decided that working with her husband and staying at home with her baby was more important, mm-hmm. Eventually I became an administrator there part-time teaching. Mm-hmm. I was teaching half-load and then doing things like schedules and mm-hmm. working with faculty. And that was my first foray into the administrative side of education.
And you obviously enjoyed it because you continued.
You know, I like it. I like some of the things that I do. Mm-hmm. But I think about baseball. What do they have? Like a four-tool player. I don't consider myself a four-tool player. There's some things that I'm really good at when it comes to scheduling and getting, you know, recruitment and mm-hmm. getting the right things lined up. Those things I do enjoy very much.
Yeah, good. And how did you come to Brookings?
Oh, that's a little harder. That's my wife and I think of it as a real tender mercy. I had been working at Mojave Community College in Kingman, Arizona. And when that ended, I was looking for a position. I interviewed for the executive dean position here. And I actually got a no thank you letter from them. I mean, I interviewed and they sent me a letter and said they'd hired somebody else. That's after Les, who had been the executive dean, had died from a heart attack or a heart condition. So they were looking for somebody, but then the person they recruited ended up backing out at the last minute.
Isn't that funny?
And Vice President Allie McGeehan, the Vice President of Instruction, called me up and said, hey, you know, we were impressed with you. You just, you know, we're still interested and there's the opportunity. Would you still be interested? And I said, yeah. So we drove up here. And as you know, it's a little difficult to find housing, but...
No, that's brand new to me.
Is it new?
Yes, it's very difficult to find housing. Yes.
There's probably a few other things I need to teach you then, if that's true.
Exactly.
No, but we were lucky enough that in just being here two or three nights, my wife and I were able to find a place to live, and we're very comfortable with the apartment we're in.
That's great.
We just love it here.
That's great. So you had not been to Brookings previously?
We had not.
Sight unseen? Are you serious?
No, we had never been to Brookings before I interviewed.
Wow.
I'd like to say I'd never been to Oregon, but I had been to Portland. So
Yeah. So it's
never
amazing,
down to the South Coast.
It's an amazing place, isn't it?
Oh, I mean,
it's
the like... smells, and you know, last summer there was so much of the coastal coastal fog.
Mm-hmm.
It was so amazing. It's almost like a blizzard. Sometimes you think it's like an Idaho or a Wyoming blizzard.
Yeah, you can't
but there's
see
no,
through it.
There's no snow
no,
coming down.
I know.
My wife has really enjoyed shoveling all that rain. It's been a real, real change for her.
Yeah,
but she's found that quite.
Oh, I'm
quite nice.
so glad to not have to shovel snow. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and we had snow, and no thank you. Don't like driving in it, don't like shoveling it, you know. The rain can get a little bit much when it decides that it's a squall and it's right on top of your head, and, you know, my front yard turns into a lake. My dog is like, I'm not going out there. It's raining. I'm like, okay. Yeah, but it is beautiful, right? I mean, I've never been anywhere that is as beautiful as here. It's just...
We really enjoy walking up and down the beach,
mm-hmm.
seeing the different things. And right there by Rainbow Rock, we like dropping down there.
Mm-hmm.
We really liked it when we went down there and found there's the cave down there.
Oh, I don't know about the cave.
You don't know about the cave?
No.
Well, there's another secret.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah, there's a nice little cave,
really?
A little walkthrough down there
nice.
Below Rainbow Rock.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about SWOC.
Okay.
So when did you come here?
Well, I've been here, I was here a year in July, so just came here July 1st of the previous year.
Okay. And what was your first impression when you came to SWOC?
Well, what's not to love? I mean, it's a beautiful campus. It's been open since January of 2012. It's well cared for, well manicured. It's a terrific setting. I love how the fog kind of rolls through, and then there's beautiful sunshine, and you know, we've got the woodpeckers and the trees. We've got a wild turkey that's been hanging out. I think he only disappeared about 2 weeks ago. We're reaching.
Interesting. Only one wild turkey?
Well, he was hanging out. He liked his reflection in the window and would hang out.
A little vain, was he?
It was, yeah. Two or three others showed up a couple weeks ago, and he left with them.
Okay.
We've been appreciative.
Okay, well, you'll probably end up with a sizable flock because they do have a tendency to reproduce.
Yeah, I've seen them around.
Yeah.
Up the Chetco, I see them all the time.
Yeah, that's great. So the campus is beautiful. It's kind of a small building. So what is your, like how many classes or how many students or, you know, what's kind of the size of it?
Well, if you think in terms of full-time equivalents, which is usually what administrators work with, that would be like a full-time equivalent would be one student taking 12 credit hours mm-hmm. each term
right.
for three terms. So we have about 150 full-time equivalent, but mm-hmm. those are Curry campus students, some of which take online classes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are taking the nursing program,
mm-hmm.
and some are taking anatomy and physiology, psychology, anthropology, history, whatever appeals to them.
And how is the curriculum determined? Like, how do you guys figure out what to offer?
Well, I would love to offer whatever the community wants.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of our campus, I kind of break it up into kind of three groups. There's the credit-bearing classes, which are for people that want to get a degree, either an associate's degree in Oregon Transfer because they want to go off to Oregon State mm-hmm. or Southern Oregon University. Mm-hmm. Those are primary places that people go.
Mm-hmm. It's so much cheaper, isn't it, for students to get the first year or two under their belt at a community college and then transfer?
It's very economical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of the students, we have some of the students that come to our orientation, they might take one term here, mm-hmm. you know, stay at home that first term, continue mm-hmm. working their jobs, and then they feel like they want to have a campus experience. So mm-hmm. then they will go up to Coos Bay,
mm-hmm.
and their campus is gorgeous as well.
Mm-hmm.
The lake right there. I like sitting in the cafeteria and seeing some of the students out there on the pier casting, you know, fishing for some trout while
nice,
they're there.
Nice.
So it's a beautiful place. Plus, mm-hmm. you know, the coast is gorgeous down that way.
Yep.
So students really, really like that. Plus, they're just 2 hours from being home.
Right.
They can come home for the holidays and see mom and
right.
and not have mom be intrusive either.
Right. Yeah. And some people really need that gradual transition away from home. It's, you know, they haven't really been out of state before or whatever, so they're kind of looking to keep that background in place.
Right, and the community college provides a lot of support up there mm-hmm. with the housing,
mm-hmm.
with the dorm supervisors. The student services up there, I think, are really, really good. They're very supportive.
So the campus here being an offshoot or a satellite of the Coos campus, are you able to offer some of the same classes or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, we would like, and our vice president would really like to see us be able to offer all of the programs that are available in Coos Bay down here through either online. We have a digital design program that Joseph Tremonti is the director of, and it's totally online, even though he has an office and he comes into the office every day. Most of his students reach out to him online. And it's digital design, that means they're doing websites, they're doing Photoshop. And
so they don't actually have to show up to the building to take this class. They literally can be sitting at home.
Yeah, and people that are working in the computer field are some of the most adept at being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that program works mm-hmm. so well. But we would really like to be able to offer all of our programs by using broadcast technology.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a numbers game often.
Mm-hmm. If
we have four or more students, we can offer a class if I can find an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the curriculum,
mm-hmm.
then we need to have an instructor and we need to have the students. And so that's really what determines the curriculum.
So are instructors, you know, kind of difficult to come by? I'm thinking the whole housing thing and, you know, I know that we have a problem with doctors and keeping doctors in the community because there's not enough housing.
Recruitment can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. We've had some wonderful people that have been in this community that have committed themselves to the college for a very long time, but some of them have reached that point where continuing to make that sacrifice mm-hmm. has been difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I have to admit that we don't pay very much. It's something that the college is trying to address. It's harder to address in spiraling down budget cycles at the state level.
Right.
But we're still trying to do our best to find a way that we can be a little more attractive to faculty members. We do need part-time faculty members. So your question, you know, if you know, from time to time we have to cancel classes because we can't find an instructor, whether that's in communication, you know, speech. We, if we could find somebody that is qualified with a master's degree in speech or something related to that, you know, we would be happy to qualify them. We're accredited under the Northwest State's accreditation, so they have strict standards as to what the qualification of our instructors have to be, and that's why the master's degree. And if we could find somebody to teach welding classes, they don't have to have a master's degree because it's career and technical education, but we'd love to find somebody that wanted to do a little bit, you know, a part-time gig, not have to wear themselves out 40 hours a week.
Right. And would they have to have a space? Well, I guess they would have to have a space to do that, that that was would be their space. I mean, you don't have equipment and stuff at the college.
For welding?
Yeah.
For the welding, what we're trying to do is work closely with the Brookings Harbor High School, with the superintendent and the school district to come together with a memorandum of understanding that would allow us to use some of their facilities.
Oh, that's so
to
smart.
To do the welding classes.
Right.
Gold Beach High School is has a very well-equipped metal shop, and we have talked to them about having an agreement with them as well that would allow us to use their facility after hours. You know, we don't want to get tangled up with the school. But after hours and on weekends, we might be able to offer some classes if we have the right instructor, because they don't want somebody in there that's making a big mess and really detract from their
student
experience.
And evenings and weekends might actually be a really good idea anyway, especially if your students are people who are currently holding down jobs.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that I would think that so. I interrupted you. You were telling me about the population of your students, and you said that there were those who were going through to get their associate's degree or get those beginner classes. But there are a couple more.
Yeah, so there's I think of it as kind of three groups. There's the credit-bearing, the people that are going to get degrees. There are the community education, so we have some of the fitness classes, the Better Bones and Balance, the yoga, dance classes, there's a ballroom dance class that is offered in Gold Beach that people like and put in a plug for.
Ballroom
if we get
dancing.
Enough students together, then they have a pretty good time. And then there's more just the what I'd consider the just community interest that isn't credit bearing at all. And it may not be, it won't cost anything, something that's a free program. So.
Sounds great. I just want to take a second to let our listeners know that they are listening to our community. And I'm talking with Dean Doug Bunn from the Brookings campus of SWOC today. And Doug was just telling us about the different students that are enrolled. So I would think that some of the students are the ones who are not necessarily trying to get on to a higher education are taking classes when they're not working. They're kind of doing both a job and classes.
Yeah, I just left a new student orientation just before I came over here, and I sat down with a couple that have retired, they're post-career. But they're taking the conversational Spanish class.
Oh, how fun.
You know, we asked them, what, you know, are you planning to use it in some way? And they're like, well, we've been thinking about going to Spain. We don't have any travel plans, but we think that that would be something fun. Or, you know, they said maybe they travel to Cabo San Lucas once in a while. So a lot of people take classes just because they find it of some sort of interest.
And what about the nursing program? That is fascinating to me.
The nursing program I see is really the crown jewel and really the foundation for this campus. I think you're aware that in the past we've been allowed five students of the 25 that the Southwestern Oregon Community College was allowed to have by the Oregon State Board of Nursing.
I don't understand any of that.
All right. So we have to act under we have to be accredited.
Okay.
So based on our clinical sites and the number of instructors and so forth, we had been allowed 25 students every year. And the RN program, or the registered nursing program, is a two-year program.
Mm-hmm.
So we were allowed in total at the college 25 each year.
And the college being both campuses?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. So what would happen was that every other year, either we would get 5 of the 25 or Coquiel would get 5 of the 25.
Oh.
But we have...
I didn't know Coquiel had... They're a satellite as well?
They're not, but they have a little thing going on over there where they had their 5 students that they... From that area. They had a little spot where they were...
Okay.
They were coming in from. And I don't know that much about what's going on at Coquiel. But this, we've brought on a new nursing faculty. Judy Dornbach joined the faculty last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And with that expansion, we've been allowed by the state to have 5 students every year.
Oh, nice.
So really, we've doubled the size of our program.
Right. Excellent. And I was lucky enough to have a little tour by you last week, and I saw some of the facilities that you've got for that program. It's impressive.
Yeah, we have just about everything that you'd need to learn. You know, we have all of the facilities necessary for one to learn really good nursing skills and practices. And I think at the core, at the bottom line, is you have to have compassion. And Judy Dornbach is excellent at demonstrating or really projecting the compassionate side of mm-hmm. what it's like to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
There's skills, of course,
yes,
but there's also a compassionate side that you really have to have if you're going to be a good nurse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of think that both education and healthcare are areas where if you're in it for the money, that might not be the real good reason to be in it. You know, everybody wants to make a living, and that's absolutely true. But when you're educating people or when you're taking care of them, you really have to be motivated by something, I think, beyond material success.
Well, it turns out that this area really needs medical professionals. We really need the nurses. So it's a great, great place to study if you have that ability and that mm-hmm. desire. We like that the students can take some medical classes, some terminology
mm-hmm.
and ethics types of courses here at the Brookings Harbor High School, and also Gold Beach.
I didn't know that.
Gold Beach High
that.
School offers really? A couple of classes.
Okay, that's great. That gives,
which,
kind of gives you a step up.
Yeah, they get a quick start,
mm-hmm.
and from there, they have a year of prerequisites: chemistry,
mm-hmm.
human anatomy, mm-hmm. and physiology. Nutrition and you know some mm-hmm. other things they need to. Nurses now use a lot of electronics, so they have them take a computer course, and then they can apply at that point for the nursing program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we really hope to do. Is we think our nursing program is really attractive, and then students in this area are going to want to take the prerequisite courses. That's going to fill the other courses.
Right.
They still need to know their writing. They still have to have basics in mathematics and so forth. So it starts, you know, pushing outward. It's like rising tide. It's helping all the boats.
No, it's great. It's great. So it's a two-year program, the nursing program?
Yeah, the registered nursing program is 2 years.
So when you graduate from that, then you can get a job as a nurse anywhere?
Yeah, you take the board exams or mm-hmm. the exams, the NCLEX, they refer to them as. And we've had really good success with our students passing the NCLEX.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once they then are registered nurses, they can work in hospitals, doctor's offices, and they do. A lot of them stay here at the hospital in Gold Beach. Some go down to Sutter Coast,
mm-hmm.
and some even go over to Medford.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're really excited.
We're desperately in need of medical personnel here. I mean, it's no joke, you know. People have to wait months to get in to see a professional.
Yeah, so we grow our own.
Yeah, it's truly the best way to do it. And if they can stay here and they have a family already, you know, if it's a situation where they've gone back to get some schooling because they don't want to work at McDonald's anymore or whatever, then, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah, and the Oregon Health Sciences University helps us out a lot because they actually have an online program that once us one of our students graduates in the RN program, they can go to Oregon Health Sciences and work on their bachelor's in their bachelor's of science in nursing.
Wow.
They can get their bachelor's degree if they want to, and then they can actually go on for a master's degree.
Wow, nice. That's nice. So there's this program that I've heard about called SWOC and Beyond.
Yeah, I really like how that sounds. It's like to infinity and beyond or something like that.
I know, I love it.
Well, let me tell you, during our July board meeting, we had quite a few people that came out to the campus and some of whom spoke to our board. And afterward, a couple of people got together and they said, hey, would Dr. Bunn listen to us? We've got some ideas. And it was I was more than happy to hear some of the thoughts. The group met, just a small group of people met. It's wide open, but this small group, they shared some ideas. My recollection is that they presented an idea like viewing something like a MOOC or a massive open online course. I shared some ideas that had come from my vice president that we had. Portland Community College does some things called Senior Seminar. And what I heard from the group was that they loved the idea about seniors meeting, but they didn't want to be called seniors. They didn't want anything to do with senior seminars.
Oh, that's so funny.
So we met a couple of times and talked about what we would like to see and what we'd like to happen. Mm-hmm. And we put together this kind of a proposal under the auspices of SWOC and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea has kind of broken down. It kind of can grow in a variety of different ways. We started in September offering our first MOOC on dog behavior. And people go, oh, something really exciting like dog behavior. But if you think about Curry County, we have a lot of dog owners.
Yes, it's important.
Yes, it's good that people learn how to evaluate different behaviors of their animals. And we had our third meeting then. That group has been meeting Thursday afternoons from 2:30 to 4. They had a great meeting, I'm to understand. About 20 people got together and shared some ideas. Talked about the Humane Society. They just share some of their insights. And I hear it's going very, very well. In October, we plan to do something on the oceans, the ecosystems of the ocean. I think there's a program called One Planet, One Ocean.
Hmm.
As if you like the blue planet, I think that you will probably like this.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll take place Thursdays again at 2:30 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
In the community room out at the college. And then we're hoping that in November, we're going to offer a program on mushrooms. So
I have heard the rumor that Kathleen Dixon might be involved in that.
She has agreed to come out and head that up.
That's great.
After the mushroom festival, she'll be all geared up. We hope to get some people out to talk about mushrooms, identifying mushrooms, and then doing a little bit of a foraging event and some cooking.
Oh, that would be great.
I know that's very popular in the area. So, and with the early rains, I'm hoping that the mushrooms will be fantastic.
And you really can't ask for somebody any more knowledgeable than Kathleen. I mean, she's been doing mushrooms for as long as I've known. Well, even before I knew her. And, you know, that's probably been close to 10 years. So,
well, she has such a passion for it. She just
does.
Loves it.
She does. And she really knows what she's doing. I remember going out with them one time and I was actually filming it, and it was fascinating because people don't stay in one group. They kind of break off in twos and threes and go off foraging, basically trying to find the mushrooms. So, you know, I'm going with this one person and looking and everything, and suddenly I realized that I couldn't hear anybody else around us, and we're in the middle of the wilderness. So getting lost is something could easily happen. Now, everybody brings their whistle or whatever so that if you do get lost, then you have a, a way to communicate with people. But, you know, I've actually known people who have gotten lost out there, and it took them 2 days to walk out.
Well, we're not going to lose anybody.
Oh, come on,
I promise.
Doug.
You won't. So the other part of Slalk and Beyond is that we've envisioned is starting in September or in October, we plan to do more of a lecture series where we'll just reach out from all over the place. We're going to start with Kelly Timchek has agreed to come out. Kelly's with Curry Watershed.
Oh, okay. And great.
She's going to come out and talk about the Rogue River. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the waterway being somewhat choked this year, causing boaters to have some problems there in Gold Beach. So she's going to give us a little bit of historic perspective. I think that'll be wonderful. Those will be on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock. They'll run for about an hour, hour and a half, depending on questions and how much people want to linger and talk and enjoy. Mm-hmm. So Kelly's going to kick things off for us in October. Then Al Collinette will be out to talk about hiking. He leads some interpretive hikes in the area. Again, these will be free of charge.
Nice.
So we'd invite people to come out to the campus and join us. We've got a couple of others. Can I give you the rundown for the month?
Absolutely.
We have Jeremy Dumeyer from our Emergency Management Coordinator.
Yes.
Is going to talk to us about the Great American Shakeout. So the timing is perfect for that. Lisa Green is going to talk to us about assisted living choices for those people that need to get into a care facility or have a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
She'll give some ideas on how to make those choices and what to look for. Then Marty Holland, he works down at the AT&T store, is going to come talk about cell phones. He's going to talk about those smartphones because you meet so many people that don't really, like my mother, she uses her cell phone for calling and that's it.
Yes.
And if you send her a text message, she's like, yeah, I saw that you sent something. but not past
not
that.
Not sure what to do about it.
So there's a lot of different things that we're hoping we can teach that the public will pick up some ideas on how to take better photos, maybe using it to, you know.
Or even how to take a photo with a cell phone. I mean, I think that we're dealing with some of us are really technically challenged, you know, and we could use some help.
Well, and I've heard there's a new iPhone coming out. Is that right?
I thought it just came out.
Oh,
like
I don't know.
A 10? Like number 10? Is there another one coming out?
I think there's a new one coming out.
Oh, dear.
But so we hope to have a program where we have somebody come out and talk about the iPhone because,
great,
you know, there's not everybody's an Android user.
Right.
In November, we have Bill Gorham coming out.
Oh,
he's going to talk to us about climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And then Officer Ray Merrington is going to come talk about cybersecurity. You know, that's such an important, topic.
Yes.
With so many seniors being exploited by these awful people that call and tell you that your Social Security is about to be cut off and threaten to send the police to your house. I mean, it seems almost like a joke, but there's some people that are isolated and they fall prey to some of these
it's not hard
terrible
to,
things.
It's not hard to fall for it. Believe me, I was online and a message came up on my computer that said something about, you know, you've been hacked, blah, 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 blah. Call this number immediately because your screen is about to go blue and, you know, all this stuff. And I was calling the number when my husband said, stop that. No, that because what will happen is they will get into your computer and you have not been hacked, you know, but don't call the number.
Well, it's billions of dollars worth of loss through entanglements from people that respond to phishing expeditions, is what they're called, where they'll send you an email and say, oh, you've got to respond to this right away or your access is going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
You'll put in your username, your ID and your password and boom, they've got you.
Yep.
They've got everything that you've got stored in there.
Yep.
And then that can cause you some trouble. So we really like to help people avoid identity theft.
Oh, yes.
But we hope that in the coming year, we can offer all sorts of programs, whether it's about budgeting, whether it's about selecting the right Medicare plan for you or the right Part D plan for you.
That would be enormously helpful. Because getting into the whole Medicare thing is, it can be a nightmare.
Yeah.
It just can.
We thank the patrons that have been kind enough to offer to give an hour to talk about, you know, those things that are really passionate to them.
Yeah, I think that's excellent.
So that's what we're hoping that this will, the SWOC and Beyond will move from kind of a lecture for those people that just feel like they need to learn something new frequently to people that just want to stay informed about the Chetco River or the Rogue River or, you know, acidification of the oceans to timber issues. We need to get someone to come and talk about fires. Mm-hmm. I know we have, as I said, a beautiful campus, but I think we probably have trees that are a little too close to the buildings for what would be safe. And I think there are probably other people that have that issue. So let's get some experts in to tell us what the right things are to do and how to make the adjustments to make our community safer.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And the reality is we are right on the edge of the forest. We all are. We're just right with the ocean on the other side. So
there's nowhere to run.
There is nowhere to run, no. You can go north, you can go south, but you can't go east or west. You know, that's it.
So we've been having these informational meetings. If somebody is interested in sharing some ideas, I'd love to have them come out to the campus. If they want to meet with me and share ideas, can I give a phone number?
Yes, please do.
We'd be happy to visit with you. My phone number is 541-813-1672. So that's my direct line, or they can stop in. I'd be happy to set up a time, give a tour, like you mentioned. Show you what we've got going on and take your ideas and hopefully make our community a better place.
Well, the idea of a community college, to me, the reason community is in that phrase, community college, is because it has so much to do with your community. I mean, you're not doing anything in a vacuum. It is your community. So you kind of have to gauge what your community needs and what your community wants, what it will support.
And I can only do that if people come and tell me what they want and need.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell them what I think, but I'd rather hear it from them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If we need more about dogs, or maybe we need a program on cats, we'll do that too.
I love the dog thing. I just absolutely love it. And in Curry County, you know, we love our dogs. It's really true. We love our dogs.
We do.
I know. So what are some of the future plans? Is the building is a not a huge building, but I'm assuming it can be added on to if the population grows or expands or.
Well, we did a space utilization study this last year, and the campus really is being used at about 30% of its full capacity.
Wow, so it's got a lot already there.
We have room to grow.
Okay.
And we would like to see, through using broadcast technologies, we'd like to see some programs expand. You know, you can't do that all at the same time. Mm-hmm. You have to do that, you know, slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. Well, education to teachers of the future is an important is important for this area. So we are actually offering a number of different programs. Mm-hmm. Students can come and take classes. They can take the class through Southern Oregon University, and we'll broadcast the classes between campuses. We think that criminal justice, having peace officers and other emergency management workers would be useful. So as a result, we're going to try to have some of our criminal justice classes broadcast down here. We are already broadcasting some of the classes offered here. Marta Wozniak offered one of her writing classes. Students enrolled up in the Coos Bay area. And if we can do that, an instructor that wants to teach students here as well as Coos Bay can enjoy that teaching opportunity.
So the class, so if they were doing a class here and it was broadcast, would the students at Coos Bay, for instance, be taking the class at the same time as
yes.
it? Wow.
Yeah, through the broadcast, we can the instructor can see the students in both locations. Mm-hmm. They can do group discussions back and forth. Mm-hmm. The camera technology is getting really good. most of the listeners probably already use FaceTime and
right.
and Skype or other tools to visit with family.
Right.
We're just using that very same technology, whether that's to do advising or to teach classes. But we want to offer as much as we can so that anybody can take a class here and not have to leave home.
That is just really exciting to me. I mean, I just love that because there are so many people here who have something to offer, and you need people who have something to offer.
You know, can I tell you about, I know our time's getting short.
Yeah, but we got a couple more minutes.
I want to make sure that the community knows about study abroad. Mm-hmm. And this is something the college hasn't done very much of. This last summer, a group did a Turkish study abroad that was fairly successful. The criminal justice people are putting together a study abroad to go to London in the spring with the idea that they will look at the criminal justice system because the U.S. system is largely patterned after the British system.
Right.
So London's a great place to go and study the kind of the early beginnings of our criminal justice system. So that's going to be taking place in the spring. And you don't have to be a SWOC student. You don't have to want to be in a degree program. You just have to want to come and go on a tour and have fun. And we're also, the Oregon Culinary Institute is doing something in the summer. They're going to go to Italy. So if your dream has been to go to Italy, I suspect there'll be a lot of really good food.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to our college president about our alcohol policy. I think they're going to have some wine. There might be some Italian wines. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to work out their some of their policies there. But
right.
Food and wine, I think, is what's going to be great. So if someone wants to join in, they can be part of that tour group. And I think it'll be a blast.
Oh, that sounds great. It's amazing what is available and what the future can bring. And I just thank you so much for being willing to do it, to keep slugging away every day, because that's just what you need to do.
Well, thank you. We're happy to serve the community.
Yes. Well, and you do it quite well. So thank you very much. And I want to thank you for coming on the show, because there were so many things about SWOC that I don't know. The tour was really an eye-opener to see all of the equipment and the space. It's just beautiful. And maybe we can do a video tour someday.
I'd love to do that.
That would be great. So I got you on tape saying you'd love to do that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I can always go back and say it was fake news. Right?
Thank you, Dean Doug Bunn, for showing up. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And thank you for listening. This is KCIWLP, and we are broadcasting to the community of Brookings Harbor and surrounding communities, and we are an all-volunteer community radio station. If you enjoy our programming, please consider supporting us with yearly membership, as a show sponsor, or as a station underwriter. Visit kciw.org to find out more. This has been our community. My guest today has been Mr. Doug Bunn, Dean of the Brookings Campus of SWOC. I'm Candace Michelle.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.